back to the PearPod. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the support in the last episode. Today, I am joined by Irish entrepreneur, Kieran O'Connor. Kieran, thank you for joining me, bro.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure, bro. So it's fitting, I think, that Mother's Day was yesterday. And yes. we were supposed to do it a couple of weeks ago. We couldn't do it. And I feel like it's almost fate that it ends up falling the day after Mother's Day. I know you've done posts in the past about how much appreciation you have for your mum, things like that. I just want to start with, like, what makes your mum so special to you?
Wow, what a question. Yeah, she's absolutely everything to me, 100%. I was literally only talking to her about it today, but yeah, sometimes when I talk about it, it's like, poor me, but my dad died when I was a kid. I was 8 years old, and ever since then, I was just stood at my dad's funeral, just watching my mom, and then ever since then, it was just like, right, let's pick up my big boy pants and live life for her, so... that woman has sacrificed absolutely everything. She's just worked like incredibly hard for my whole life. And ever since I became of an age of trying to bring some income into the house and alleviate the pressure and stress of bills off her and give her a better life than she got, that's my main mission. Everything was to give her a better life than she got, and anything from here is a bonus. So yeah, she's everything to me.
Isn't it mad that, like, as you get older, you start to like recognize a little bit more like how difficult, like I'm 30 now, my parents had me about this time when they were my age. And like now when I look at that, I'm like, Jesus, man, you had like two kids quite early. Neither of them had like much cash. And now to be able to go through that, raise two kids, me and my brother, and like try and obviously have a house, build a home, all that stuff. It took me until my late 20s to be like, fuck, man, thank you so much for all the shit you probably went through at that time. As we kind of, you know, I'm probably talking about trying to have kids in the next couple of years. And it kind of gives you more of an appreciation. I probably gave my mum a bit of stick in the past and like not appreciated as much. And then the last like 5 years or so, I'm like, fuck, thank you so much. Like, you know, and I think it's important to get to that stage of like recognizing that and giving them that appreciation. So that's unreal, man. And kudos to your man.
Yeah, nah, she's the best. Beast. Yeah, I think it's all our, like, you grow up and you think that your parents and your intimate family is the be all and end all, and that's the whole world. But then you get a little older and you start kind of understanding their flaws and they're only human and that, and understanding the world around you and understanding that it's their first time of living too, and they're not perfect. Like,
yeah, you know, especially that, like when even like my parents separated when I was 10 or 11. And like at the time I was like, why couldn't you just like stick it out for the family like people do? And then you get to that age and you're like, what? Like if I was in a situation now where I was in a relationship that wasn't working, I'd be like, if this isn't the most healthy thing for the kids at all. And they tried to explain it to me at the time. And I was like, you're fucking up my life, my friends, all that, like the parents are together. And now looking back, I'm like, imagine how bad that situation would have been if they'd just stuck it out for the sake of us. You know, we probably wouldn't have the relationship we have now. So I think that kind of perspective is key, you know? Mm. I saw that you originally, or when you first started, you were working as a chef. That was where you first started. What was that like? Obviously, I've seen, you know, you see it depicted in movies and stuff like that, like quite a chaotic atmosphere. Is that kind of what it was like when you started working?
Yeah, and no. So I started off in a cafe in Malahide called Taste of the Med, still very friendly with the owner to this day. And that was pretty chilled out. I got a job there just as a waiter one summer and started working in the kitchen. And that was it. I was really good at it and I really enjoyed it. I ended up running the place for about 2.5-3 years. So that was a cafe. So that wasn't crazy, but I did. I worked my way up through some of the most talented kitchens in the country, and like, I've seen two chefs throw frying pans at each other. Yeah. One chef being like dragged out of the place. I've seen what happens in some late nights in kitchens, and it's not pretty. I miss working in kitchens every single day. I have an incredible passion for food. It just like fascinates me. And also, I think it's a way of me showing I care to the people I love is cooking them a meal or stuff like that. So that's the main reasons that I miss it, and I miss working in kitchens.
What age were you when you first started working in the kitchen?
17, I think. 17, just going 18.
And it's like, it's one of the few jobs you start at, like there's no real academic requirements whatsoever. It's like, do you have a passion for it? Can you work hard, follow instruction, all those things? And I think that was definitely something when I first was looking at jobs, I wasn't great in school either. So like when I'm trying to like figure out what job I'm going to do, something like a chef was something that was like, what an interesting field to be in, working in a team, all those kind of things. But also the other side of it, the hours, probably not getting paid as much as they should be. And yeah, they're dealing with pressure every night. Like I think, like, is that something that after maybe a year, 2 years, you start going, geez, every day I'm dealing with like angry customers, staff aren't showing up, this pressure, I fucked up a meal. Like is that that element there as well to people who are working there?
Yeah, I think it's one of them things that you definitely have to love it to do it. You cannot do it if you don't love it. I did love it. But I think it's just, it has to be a passion. Like I was just like sickly obsessed with just food and service and being up to your eyes with a million things on. And like you ask anyone that's worked in kitchens with me, like I'm dancing and I'm laughing. Like when I'm up to my eyes with orders and things on and food going out, like I'm at my calmest and I'm just, for some reason, I just absolutely love it and I still miss it every single day. Yeah.
It's weird where I had this later on and my question is what I'll ask you now. In terms of dealing with pressure, both as like an entrepreneur and obviously in kitchens as well, like that's obviously something I'm learning to deal with now, but learning to be like when things are at the most stressful, as you said, finding your calm. Is that something that like, even now as an entrepreneur, you probably deal with pressure like crazy. Do you enjoy, do you almost revel in those moments?
Yeah, yeah. It's, I definitely thrive in chaos. But then you have to also have the flip side. You have to be able to enjoy the good times. Mm. So it's inevitable for you to go through adversity or to have certain types of pressures. And then it's whether them pressures are put on yourself or they're self-inflicted. Mm. So it's just figuring out what juice is worth the squeeze, if you know what I mean. Like what the output of what you're doing is going to happen. I think it gets to a certain point where you just have to start working smarter, right? You have to work hard at the start, but then you have to start to work smarter. So I only allow certain things to pressure me. I like to not be in control. Sounds like a little bit of a toxic word, but I like to just kind of like, I describe it as like I'm an orchestrator and I have me bands and I have me drums, me violin, and I'm just kind of like, you know, just managing everything and making sure things are taken over.
Do you, you mentioned there, are you good at enjoying the good times? Are you able to give yourself a compliment or like appreciate when you've done something well, or are you just straight into like, fuck, I wish I'd done that better? Like, can you see the positives, or are you someone, I've had lots of people on the podcast who are like, I'm not great at sitting back and being like, well done to myself. Are you good at that?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I think it's nearly like a social status that is just brought up in society. Like if you're not busy or chasing your tail or constantly chasing from A to B, like it's nearly like a status symbol. It's like, oh, I just can't relax, so I need to be on to the next
thing.
He's
so busy, look how great he's doing.
Yeah, no. I think like even for me now with the responsibilities that I have and what I'm trying to do and where I'm trying to go, it's just waking up every day and picking and choosing my battles. And then of course, like, yeah, I'm proud of what I've done. It's kind of hard to say that, but it's constantly just like, it's just that whole thing of like ambitious people, just no matter what they do, they'll always just be like crawling. They'll always just be like, what's next? And I don't, it not crawling isn't the word, but no matter what happens, I'll always be thinking, what's next? How can I do it better? Mm. Like evaluating the situation. Like I'll never just sit around and pat myself on the back and say, woohoo, look at me. Mm. But it's constantly evolving, but also trying to practice gratitude throughout the process. Yeah,
it's like it's a strength and a weakness. Like your strength, like it's a huge strength to be like, how can I make this more and more and more? I do more. And then on the other side, you're like, if you can't pat yourself on the back now and again, like what is it even all for? Do you know what I mean? We'll go back to you were working in the kitchen. What first inspired you to like be like, I'm gonna go off and I wanna do my own thing?
You know, like people always ask me all the time, like, how did you do it? How did you start this? How did you do that? I think it was just like I've ended up here, but not by chance. Like I've put it, no one has gotten me to where I am apart from me. Like the only thing I always say, the only thing I've done to get here was put in the work, and that's a fact. But it was just kind of like a string of things that have led me here. Like obviously working in some of the most talented kitchens in the country for a couple of years, running a food company makes sense. Mm. I always say to people, like, do something that makes sense. I wouldn't open up a ballet school. No idea how ballet works, but running a food company makes a lot of sense for me. But then I went from making food products to running a business. As soon as you start to get staff and then and then we opened up the cafe, and that's a whole different ball game from a warehouse production company. So for some reason, I like to think I'm very good at that too. What was your question? I always go off on tangents.
So like I was wondering, like when you first went into food production and stuff like that, like even with the oats, like let's say to start, did you make a banging bowl of oats one day? I'm like, fuck man, I could sell these.
So the actual story, I was 17 and I was working in Tasty Men at the time, and I started a meal prep company called Soul Kitchen. And the Instagram is actually still there. I made a crazy amount of food. I did what I did with Soul Food. I made an Instagram, put up loads of pictures. One day said DM to order. I was blasted 1 week, made loads of money. made a lot more experience, which is more valuable. And the last post on Soul Kitchen Instagram is Soul Kitchen is discontinued for the foreseeable due to unforeseen circumstances. I bit off way more than I can chew. But the breakfast was oats. And then a couple of years later, when I was in kitchens, one of my chefs got me into culinary school because I never thought I'd go to college, but he knew the head of school. And I started like mid-October one day. I was just went to college. It was a bit mad. My mom was like, what? You're going where?
Where did you go?
TUD Grange Gorman.
Okay.
Studying culinary arts there.
And what kind of things, like when you go in there, you can't specialize in certain types of food and stuff like that. They just give you they have a syllabus that you follow.
Yeah.
So do you go in and you're like, are you doing some like more like cafe food and then more high end stuff? Are you just learning the tools of cooking overall? And then you can kind of go in and specialize in different stuff?
It's all French.
Oh, really?
It's all French. Cooked French food for 2 years. We had a couple of classes where we did different cuisines, but the foundations of being a chef is food comes from France 100%. Everything. There was a couple of chefs from France in like the late 1800s, early 1900s. I'm not too good at history, don't quote me. But there was a group of chefs, and like the culinary foundation of that industry came from France. So it was just thick sauces, meats, potatoes, stuff like that. It was sweet. And then, yeah, we had a little bit of creativity. And we did a couple of different ones. But yeah, it was incredible. It was an incredible, incredible experience. I loved every single second of it. And then I had to defer my third year, was an Erasmus year, to scale the company. Because it was just kind of...
So you're doing the two simultaneously there?
I was, yeah. Fuck, okay. Yeah, I was.
And what would you say, like, in that, like, that first year in particular... Did you, like, how would you sum up that first year? Like, what were some of the biggest lessons you learned in that period? Whether it's biting off more than you could chew, like... You know, learning, are you able to balance your culinary school, building that as well as building a company? Like, I guess at some point you had to make a decision on which one was going to bear the most fruit for you, I guess, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So like when I started college, like I just thought I wanted to be a chef. I really liked it. And then I was going to be doing an Erasmus for my third year going to San Sebastian in the north of Spain. But yeah, no, it would have been deadly. But I started Soul Food, I think it was like halfway through my second year, and it was just kind of scaling like crazy. So I listened to my gut. I think that was the main thing. I just knew that I had something there and I wanted to pursue it. So I deferred for a year and I actually took a job at the same time in Six by Nico in town behind the Ivy.
We've a voucher there. I got from engagement.
Oh man, okay. It's deadly. I can't remember the menu they have right now, but I went for dinner with my mom. And one of my minimum terms is to do something with my mom every week. So we go like for a coffee, for a walk, go for dinner. So we went into Six by Nico and I love talking to people. And the front of the house was talking to me for a little bit. And I was telling her I was a chef. She was like, do you want a job? I was like, not really. Like, because I didn't. I was scaling the company. But the meal was so sick and the kitchen was like, it's a big, huge open kitchen. You can see into it. So by the end of it, I literally just wrote my number down, gave it to the head chef. And I was like, gave it to the front of the house. I was like, look, I'm not really looking for a job, but like this place is sick. Pass my number on to your head chef. And if something happens, happy days.
And did you like the food they were making? Do they do like slightly more, I guess, experimental or like extravagant kind of food? Like, do you get, when you see a menu and like try different kinds of food, you go, fuck man, I haven't really done something like that before. I haven't tried this before.
Yeah. It was incredible. So it's a 6-course tasting menu that changes every 6 weeks, and it changes to like a different country, a different theme. The owner of the whole franchise called Nico Simone, and he has a whole team of culinary developers that like travel the world and like make new menus and all. So that was the plan. I was going to scale my way up and get in with the big boys, get paid to travel the world and eat food. But yeah, no, I was there for, I think, 2 months, and I had to have my apron back in because Soul Food was just, it's just been one big rocket ship.
And one thing I want to mention, like obviously Soul Food grew very quickly. Were you hammering content from the start? Was that something that you were using like as you grew? Did you find that, like for me looking at your content already, when I can put a face to a company and I can tell the story of the company, I can see the growth of the company, like it's endearing to me as a customer. If I know random cafe, I don't know anyone, or a barista or a cafe, and I see the owner doing content, introducing the staff, telling the story of the business, it makes me want to go more. So did you find, number one, were you doing content at the start? Is that something you did early on with Soul Food?
Yeah, so I think like we kind of did founder content before founder content was a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really did it without knowing. Mm. Like it was quite organic. I don't really have an explanation as to why I did it. I didn't really do much content before it. Mm. Well, with Soul Kitchen, I did. Like you go into the Soul Kitchen Instagram, it's all just product photos. I guess I just have a little nick for it. And Yeah, I just started. And like, you go all the way back through Selfhood, like we have like 300-400 posts, and it's literally like a step-by-step guideline for the last 2.5 years of what we've done. Like, you see us, you see me making them on my own in my mom's kitchen. You see us going into our first unit. You see me, my first three staff was my mom, my little cousin and my uncle. And my mom and my uncle are still full-time employed in the company. Moving into our second unit, moving into where we are now, Bewley's head office in Northern Cross, working in the biggest coffee company in the country, who, shout out to them, they're absolutely incredible people. And just the whole growth, like, it's all been organic growth. Like, we haven't tried to acquire a single customer that we've gotten. It's all been organic growth through Instagram, through word of mouth, through event collaborations.
That's like every brand right now is trying to like utilize founder marketing now, and everyone's kind of bored of it because everyone and their ma is like, hi, I started whatever cafe it is. Everyone's trying to do it. Companies I work with now are like, how can we, let's do like staff vlogs and stuff like that. And it's just so saturated now. But back at the start, like even if I use Gymshark, like Alfie, all these ones, like Christian Guzman, I watched all his content. Then he starts a brand. I go, fuck, I'm buying this shit. I love Christian. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even like, I don't know if you know Max Tuning from like, do you know Max? He's also out in Texas. He started Sour Strips, like a candy company. He just sold it to Hershey's for like crazy money.
Wow.
But he, again, documented the whole story. Like, was like, hey, I got this prototype of these Sour Strips. He showed them on camera and then it gets acquired. And Hershey's said one of the biggest things that stood out to them when they were looking at companies to acquire was like, we know this company backwards already because we've watched all Max's content.
Wow.
So like, and I agree with you. I went back to your Instagram and stuff and you can see your whole journey as a business just scrolling through your Instagram. And I think that's so powerful. So that's why I was like, the fact that you didn't even plan it is even more effective. Do you know what I mean?
Thank
that's
you.
That's fucking sick.
I appreciate it.
No worries, bro. And we did say when you first, you mentioned that you had like your uncle and your mum working for you and stuff like that. Does that add an extra bit of pressure when suddenly people are like semi-reliant on you, or you have other staff that now, you know, you don't like to say it, but like, you know, their future or their income rests on you a little bit. Does that add pressure?
Yeah. So first of all, people work with me, not for me. That's a standard that I tried to drive through the company. There's no real hierarchy. Everyone is as heavily invested into the company as they want to be. And it's actually very funny. On Friday, what we do as a company when we're in the warehouse with the production team, because the cafe and the production team, it's one big company, but obviously there's kind of two rosters and two, like, they're like legally two completely different companies, but it's one big family, if you know what I mean. So the production team, twice a day, we go for a little walk outside, like literally, because you're in a warehouse, it just gets busy. You go out, get some fresh, obviously when the weather's good. So recently we've started doing it again. And Friday, there was just like a million, like we have a lot of stuff going on. We went on a walk and I was just like to the guys, I was like, look, like we make little pots of porridge for a living. Like no one has guns to our heads. Nope. Like as soon as we stop having fun, I'm done with it. I don't know about you, but this is like, we can only do this if we're having fun with it. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that just goes back to like, for example, like I left Six by Nico. And my head chef, Daria, I don't know if she's still there now, this Polish woman, Daria, she's so funny. Shout out Daria. But she grabbed me by the apron. She was like, you need to come back. I need to go on holidays. Like, because I was the junior sous chef. And she said, like, if you ever want to come back, like, happy days. So I've built up, like, a cushion for myself that no matter what happens, I know I'll be okay. And, like,
you have, like, a skill set that's good. You could do your job pretty much anywhere. It's a universal language, you know, being able to cook.
Sick. Exactly. Yeah. But even at that, but it's just like, we'll make little pots of porridge for a living. Like it's great. And if one day we're not doing it, well then so be it. We'll figure it out. But, no, I don't really feel like an incredible amount of pressure. Like, yeah, I'm paying, like I have my mom and my uncle and like we have 18 staff across the two companies. Well, we've 13 and then 5 drivers, but we've 18 altogether. It sounds bad to say, I'm not extremely emotionally connected to it. You know what I mean?
It's healthy though.
It is because like, I think I've gotten to a stage in my life where I've lost so much that like nothing is yours. Everything is borrowed. Mm. Like I'm having so much fun right now. I wake up every single day so excited to just get to work. And long may it last. And that's just the way I look at it, you know?
I think, we're going all over the gap here, but I have to fucking bring this up. You put a quote out. I think it was
love a quote me.
Yeah, you had I don't have a work life. I have life because I love what I do. And I think that when you
said that,
I think so. Yeah, it was like an Instagram post where you spoke about like I think someone asked you about work life balance, and you were like, I don't really need to balance anything because work is my life, but it's because I love what I do.
Yeah.
And for myself, for pretty much everyone I've had, like the podcast is about people that are pursuing a passion, whatever that is. So we've had people who own cleaning companies, like guys who wash windows, turn that into
Luke.
A company. Yeah, Luke.
He's a guy, man.
Gent,
shout
man.
Out Luke.
Legend. And he, but like that's pretty much what this podcast is all about. So like I love talking to people that have, number one, have a passion, but number two, have pursued that and turned that into a business. And I think, especially with like some young entrepreneurs, they can get so wound up on like money and like growth that you kind of stop enjoying the process altogether. And then you get 10 years down the line, you go, fuck man, that's a bit of a blur of just kind of like stress. Do you know what I mean? So I think you having the other side of that and having a healthy balance between, yeah, this is my job, but like, fuck, this is so sick. I get to like hire my friends, hire my family, and we all get to do this together. Like that's fucking whopper.
Mm. Unreal, yeah, man. Appreciate it, man.
No, my pleasure. Do you find when you're like leading, like, or as a manager, how do you kind of balance, you know, and you've already kind of spoken about this a little bit, but motivating your staff, making sure that they feel part of the company as much as you do. Like those things aren't the easy, they're easy to say, do you know what I mean? They're a hard thing to kind of tangibly do. Is that a case of you going in, doing all the different jobs, you know, not being afraid to whatever it is, take the bins out, like doing the grunt work all the way up to the top? Are those kind of things you like to instill?
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, this whole thing, I think there's a lot of noise around the whole kind of like entrepreneurial, you know, don't work a 9 to 5. Like there's too much noise on that for young people on social media nowadays. So if I can be like a real voice of what it's like, I'd be more than happy to. So, you know, this whole idea of work on your business, not in your business. Mm. From my experience, you need to do both. Mm. I need to know how everything works. I need to be on my hands and knees scrubbing the floors in the warehouse and putting the bins out. Mm. I'm not going to have systems in place that I don't know how to do myself or that I haven't done myself. And I think that in a company, the owner needs to be the hardest working. Like I'm, no matter how big we grow or whatever happens, like I will be up at 6 a.m. to go to the gym. I'll be smashing runs. I'll be holding myself accountable. I'll be in the warehouse before everyone else. I'll be the last to leave. Like, I never want to lose that. Like no matter what happens, I just always want to stay humble. I just want to remember my roots, and I want to just instill I want to keep instilling the culture within the company that we have. And anyone that comes in, like I feel like the company has gotten to such a place where if anyone comes in, there's no other way to act.
Yeah.
Like it's not even like they come in and it's like I'm telling them what to do. It's like our whole team. Like it's very easy for new people to come into the team. All I do is meet someone for 2 minutes and know if they're going to be a good addition to the team or not, because we're a very close-knit family. Mm. That's no disregard to anyone's any person, but
I think it's good to have a culture. Like that's what it is. It's a culture.
Exactly. We're very specific with who we want to bring into the company culture. But anyone that does come into the culture, it's like we're a train moving and they just jump on, but the train keeps moving. Like, you know, it's just, there's no real other way to act within the company.
You mentioned there you were, when you bring people in, like into the company or hire new people, what would be like some out of the box questions you might ask them or things you'd be interested in that might not be in a stereotypical like corporate interview?
Yeah, I really talk to them. Like we're after hiring 2 people in the last few weeks. And I literally just go for a coffee with them. I go to the cafe, I grab a coffee, we go for a walk, and I just talk to them. There's no questions that, like, it's the, like, I'm in a tracksuit, like, I've got my cap on backwards. I'm just like, what's up? Like, talk to me. Like, I just want to know who they are.
I think that's so, it's very interesting you say that. Do you know Cut and Slow, the barber training, you obviously do, done some stuff. I work with Shawnee a good bit.
Yeah.
And we were just shooting in Rathmines there for one of his companies, and he had an interview. And he did the exact same thing. They went for a walk and he was like, just got 2K steps in. So going real. And he was like, the biggest thing for him is he tries to make sure to get like his, how he would be in person, like, or like make some funny jokes, stuff like that, and see how they react to that kind of stuff. Cause he talks about culture a lot. And like, it's more important to him. Qualifications are almost secondary. Do you know what I mean? It's more important to him to be like, could I work 10 hours in the chair with you next to me and enjoy it? And will you add to my company? That's more important to him, you know?
Yeah, I'd agree 100%.
And, fuck, that's actually so mad. The amount of things that, like, especially when you do this podcast, like different people, a lot of the similarities that are like the pillars that people have when they're successful, they're all kind of similar, no matter what kind of industry you're in. We were talking before you started about your life coach or about your business mentor. Mm. Number one, can we just talk about when you first started, what was the initial motivation? Did you go looking for one? Were you thinking this is something I could use, or did you kind of come across them and be like, this could be useful to me?
Yeah, no. So Kieran is my mental performance coach. He's not a business coach. He's not a life coach. It's quite hard to explain what he does. Anyone that wants to check out what he does, Thought of Mental Performance.
We'll link him down.
This is not an ad, but I could not recommend him enough, honestly. One of my best friends, Emma, she said it to me. She was working with them. She built up a huge online coaching platform, and then she started working with them because Kieran and his company kind of specialize in online coaches a little bit. Emma was telling me to get on to him, and I was like, oh yeah, I will. I just didn't really believe in life coaches. He was someone else to tell me what to do.
And are you almost in like, I'm smashing it right now, like, what do I need?
Yeah.
Someone to tell. I get that.
Just your average stupid 20-year-old. And then for like 3-4 months, she was like, oh, did you text Kieran? Because I talked to Emma quite a lot. And then the two of them live out in Dubai, and Emma was on a run and she ran into Kieran, and that's my mental performance coach's name, the English Kieran. And she was telling him, she was like, oh, I have this friend at home, Kieran, you know, he's really young. He has one business, he's like a couple of staff. He's about to open up a second because we're just about to open up the cafe. And I'm telling him to get on to him. Kieran was like, oh yeah, tell him to get on to me and all. And Emma texted me and was like, get on to him now. And I was like, right. So I dropped him a text on Instagram. We hopped on a 30-minute call, and I just haven't looked back, and that was it.
What did he say on that call that stood out to you?
I can't remember.
Do you even remember what you talked about? Like what kind of things he was interested in at the start?
No. This is about a year and a half ago. I think we did the call like December 2023, and I didn't start work with him till like February or March last year because he just didn't have the space at the time. But no, I can't even remember. So I was out in Dubai a month or two ago, and I met up with him. It was one of the most incredible days of my life, and I actually hopped on his podcast too. It was incredible. And he brought something up that he remembers one of my texts back to him on Instagram. So we set up the call, and I texted him, and I was like, you know what? I don't really need this stuff, to be honest. Like, I'm quite happy with where I'm at. And Kieran was like, this guy needs me.
Yeah.
For some reason or another, he just really likes me. And I would not be where I am today without having him by my side for the last year and a bit. Yeah.
What do you think he helped you the most with?
So what Kieran does is he helps you master your emotions, but that's not like put them aside and hurry. He helps you understand and accept your emotions, your thought processes, because that's the main thing that dictates your life. And he can give you loads of tools around structure and routine and emotional stretch management, leadership. But he's just like, the thing that he's helped me with most, I think it's just understanding myself and just giving love back to myself. And he's really just helping me be the best version of myself that I possibly can be for myself and my relationships, my team, my company, everyone. Just he's making me be a better Kieran for everyone. You know what I mean? Including myself.
And is that something like, is it something you'll do for the rest of your life? Or is it something that he's going to teach you the lessons that you need to learn to be able to manage your emotions or understand yourself better, and then you'll be able to move on from that? Or is that something he's become something that's so valuable to you, you'll just consistently keep doing it?
Yeah, I don't know. I said it to him a little while ago. I think it was actually on the podcast. I was like, I'm sure there probably will be a day where we'll part ways, but I don't know. He works differently. So he has a couple of coaches underneath him. You can either do group coaching, one-to-one coaching with either him or any of his team and stuff like that. And he does like blocks, like you can do like a 12-week block and stuff like that. But I've just been one-to-one with Kieran from the start. And then all the one-to-one clients have a groupie call every Thursday.
Is that with all his clients? They all go in a group call? Oh,
yeah,
sick.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's I think it's any one-to-one clients at all, so with any of the coaches. Nice.
And is that just different? Like, is it all entrepreneurs, or can it be like any field of people are in?
It's mainly online coaches. Yeah. Kieran has a couple of high-roll kind of business owner clients, and I think that's just why he kind of works with me. But most of them would be online coaches building businesses and brands and stuff like that. Wouldn't kind of be, I'd be one of the only business owners that I've seen. Everyone else is kind of online coaches. There's a couple business owners too, but in terms of like they do like marketing paid ads and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know,
when you went out to Dubai, what did you think of it when you were there?
Dubai? I loved it. Yeah.
Did you?
It was sick. We were there for like 5 days, and then we ran the half marathon over there. So between that and this and that, I feel like it's the type of place you have to go for a while or go for like a couple of times. But no, I did love it. Wasn't like crazy about it, but I did quite like it. Yeah, I love traveling.
In terms of Ireland, is like, are you always going to be in Dublin? Like, you see so many people like jetting off to, people go and live in Marbella, people go and live in, I lived in Marbella myself for 2 years, people go to Dubai, all those places. Do you see yourself moving, or are you a home egg?
Like, I'm a home baby. I miss me mammy too much.
Man, I heard a great quote, it's something I've sent to my girlfriend a lot, like, you kind of need to go away to come back, do you know what I mean? And it took us a year and a half, and I was like, we kind of had a come to Jesus moment a little bit, like, what the fuck are we doing, lads? I think it was actually my mum's birthday or something like that. And I was like, what am I doing over here? Do you know what I mean? I'm 3 hours away. I'm like near the beach, whatever. I'm still working on it. I was like, what am I, like, all the important things. I have a younger sister. My dad remarried, and I have a sister who's 10, Lola. And I remember we went back 1 year for Christmas. I was like, fuck, man, she's like 2 years old. That little period between like 5 and 10, they turn into like different people over that period. And I was like, I don't want to be at a point where like I'm seeing her once a year or seeing my mum once a year and all these things. And ever since we came back, I have a new appreciation for Dublin, even with the issues and all the things we have in Ireland. It'll never not be home. Do you know what I mean? So I've definitely grown in my appreciation for it 100%.
I think even young, like, people my age and stuff, like, they're all going to Canada and Australia and stuff like this. And that's great. Like, I don't really focus on anything that doesn't directly affect me or the people that I love, to be honest. But I also think that people think the grass is greener on the other side, but it's greener where you water it. You know what I mean? So it's like chasing your tail. I was only talking to one of my friends. She came home, and I was saying to her, I was like, you're a homebird. Like, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. But like, it's a win-win. You go away, you know, something happens, you come home. Like, it's a win-win. But no, I think, I have traveled quite a lot, and I always used to think maybe, I should have, you know, done college and did my J1. And I'm kind of, I didn't do everything that everyone does.
You didn't do the stereotypical interrailing. Yeah. Blah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I've never done that. But then I've carved my own path, and I don't think I'll regret anything I didn't want to do at the time. I don't really have a lot of regrets. I'm quite happy and at peace with who I am and the people I have around me, and anything that has happened to me, good or bad, is a result of where I'm at now. And it's weird to say, but life has never been better in the last little while, to be honest. So I'm just trying to Carlo Ancelotti. I'm just trying to...
Do you, do you drink? Do you party?
No.
Interesting. A lot of the people that I've had on, it's kind of this age. What age are you?
23.
Okay, so you're a kid, man. Okay, yeah. I'm 30 and 31 this year. And there's been a little period now where, like, either I have mates that are traveling Australia, working 9 to 5s or working in Australia in the mines or whatever, and then they spend the money partying. And then I have this other core group of guys who are building a business, pursuing their passions or whatever it is. And it seems like myself, my drinking's gone way down like the last 3 or 4 years, more so because I'm doing whatever it is, podcasts, or I have extra work on the weekends or whatever. But the difference I felt, like, mentally, like, clarity-wise, motivation-wise, like, all those things have kind of skyrocketed after, since I stopped worrying about partying every weekend or whatever. What initially made you make that decision?
I just never
Not even a conscious decision, just wasn't your thing?
I never really have, yeah. I just, like, growing up, I never really liked it. I just never really liked it. Like, my biggest nightmare is just being in a pub. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not for me. It's not a judgment on anyone that does it at all. Like, I just do me, and I always have. Like, it was very funny. I was only over in Malaga last weekend. I was supposed to be running the half marathon over there, and we went to Marbella for the day. And for our 6 year holiday, I was over there with my girlfriend at the time, and all my mates from school were there. And I went down because there was a little strip where we were out, and I was sending videos, and I was like, oh, do you remember this and all? Some fella jumped into the river and all. It was brilliant. And I was like, do you remember this, boys? And one of my mates, Jacko, texted in, and he goes, of course you'd remember, the only one that was sober. And I started breaking my heart laughing. But it's funny. I've just never really liked it. Like, I'd say, apart from I went to Australia for Christmas. I was over there for a month. And I let my hair down a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But apart
from two beers,
like, I had a couple of beers with my uncle, yeah. But apart from that, I've probably drank a handful of times in the last 2, 3, 4 years. It just never really been for me.
What's your friend group like? As, like, typically there is situations sometimes you see, like, you hear the phrase misery loves company, whatever that is. And, like, a lot of friend groups are kind of circled around partying together. And then you hear stories of guys going sober, whatever those things are. And those friends kind of fall away. And then you kind of figure out if you have real friends or not when you decide to be like, lads, I'm not going to drink too much. They go, great, let's go for a walk, let's go play paddle, let's go for a hike or whatever it is. Do you have kind of a core group of mates that kind of, number one, are proud of what you're doing and also like respect your decision like that?
Yeah, I think all I really do is work and train, and that's about it, and spend time with people that I love. I love to go for a nice meal on the weekend, go for a walk, go for a sauna, stuff like that. But I think my circle would be very, very small. Of course, I have my friends from school who'll always be your childhood friends. And then now, Sean, I've only known him a couple of months, but he's one of the closest people that I have to me right now, with another kind of handful of people. And yeah, the closest people to me at all don't really drink at all. It's just not something that we do. Our goals are just aligned in different ways, and we just kind of wake up and want different things out of our lives. Like, I'm not saying like if you don't drink, you're not going to be successful, but it's not something I've ever really enjoyed. It's not something that I need to do. And
I don't think that's judgmental either. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone knows themselves and knows, like, you know, the feeling of, you know, being sober on a Sunday morning, going out for a walk in the morning, feeling great. And then on the flip side, I've had many Sundays I've woken up at 3 p.m., getting in at 5 a.m. and being like, fuck, man, what am I doing? And then, like, you're not even back to, you won't know this yet, but as you get older, geez, man, hangovers last about 6 days. Like, I'm not right until, like, the following Thursday. I'm like, oh, I feel good again. And then it just starts to be a case of, like, I can't miss those 4 days. I can't be not my best self for those 4 days. I've got shit to do. And I think your priorities just change a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I think I've just always been on one since I've been young. I've just really... Yeah, I've just really just wanted to just become something. It's just never really been for me, to be honest at all.
So you said that you don't really have, you kind of work and you train. Is there anything, you mentioned going for meals there. Is there any other activities you'd like to do completely away from work? Like, what can you do to switch off? Is training the thing you do that helps you kind of get into a moment that you're not thinking about how I can grow the business for that hour or whatever it is?
Yeah, I'm still actually toying with that idea, to be honest, because too much of anything isn't good for you, obviously. I love what I do, but I also need to have time to have my creative spark, my creative flow. I can't just be engrossed in work all the time, especially as the leader. I think entrepreneurs need that kind of breathing space and time away. They need more time off than not. Me being strapped in the office for 12 hours, 6 days a week, it's no good to anyone. Yeah. I need to be going for walks and going for runs and traveling and doing stuff and open up my eyes to the world to be able to 10X the business. That's all that I'm trying to do. I'm really just trying to do the best of what I have. But to turn off, it's really just spend time with people I love. That's it. That's really it. I remember I was listening to this study done in Harvard, and this business professor, he did a case study. Well, he obviously didn't do it, but it was over the course of like 80 years, and they did it with like 200,000 people, and they showed that the only thing that people cared about towards the end of it was time spent with people that they love. Yeah. Bigger than any accolades, bigger than anything at all. It's like that, you know, that guy Pastor Rick. Yeah. Did you hear him? And he interviewed 1,000 people on their deathbed.
On their deathbed, I was about to say.
Every single person said the exact same thing. And I just think I'm trying to just understand that as young as possible. And it really just is about value of life. And I think happiness is a direct representation of like beautiful relationships that you have in your life. And when I grow up, I want to be there for my kids. I want to have a good value of life more than absolutely anything.
Fuck, man. Like, I might have figured that out in the last year. Talk me that. And like, it's just mad.
It's like, I don't know. It's just, it's time. Like, everyone's on their own time, you know? Like, I'm no different to anyone else. Like, I just work and I train, and I'm just trying to create a better life for the people I love and myself. Give myself a better life than I got, and give my mom a better life than I got. So everyone's on their own time, and like, it's, yeah.
You looking forward to having kids?
I can't wait to have a little journey, you know?
We're talking about that currently, man. It's, like,
now, I am now. My mammy be slapping me. I can feel her slap me right now. Don't be having any kids. No, I need a woman that I can trust first, before I talk about any kids. But I cannot wait to have a little junior. I think it's just healing the little inner child in me that just like my innocence, my childhood innocence was just ripped out of my life at 8 years old. So to give that back to my own kids would be incredible. So yeah, very much looking forward to having kids.
And you mentioned there you want you obviously need to have a girl first, so you trust and all those things. Is loyalty a big thing for you?
Loyalty is everything to me. I try to remain focused on my core values, personal and professional, and they correlate between. So it would be loyalty, respect, sincere candor, just saying how you feel, obviously while keeping other people's, you know, emotional regularity in check. But yeah, it's loyalty is the main thing, and I've kind of learned that the hard way.
And you mentioned that we don't have to go into it in too much detail, but if you had, like, even in those, like, negative business experiences, you've had all those things, what, I almost want to say, what could you have done differently in those times? But, like, these are, you need, almost need to learn those lessons to kind of implement them going forward. So in a weird way, are you almost feeling like, I'm glad, we don't have to go into detail about what it was, but I know you had some business experience that didn't go the way you thought they would. Mm. Did you feel now, almost looking back, can you almost be grateful for that, to be like, now I know the most important thing to me is going in with people I trust and, like, knowing that these people share the same goals as me, you know?
So glad it all happened.
Yeah.
I'm so glad
it all happened. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. It goes back to that whole thing, you may not know now, but later you'll understand. And that being said, me saying that life has never been better in the last little while, last year I was surviving the whole year. Like, I had to dance in the rain all year. I lost so much. I had, like, you know, as everyone does, like, I'm not sitting here saying poor me, but I persevered through everything. And I'm a firm believer in, if you go to bed every single night knowing you've done right by yourself and by the people you love and by the world, and you haven't tried to screw anyone over, that you can sleep at night. All you need to do is to be able to sleep at night. And I always say that you're going to have to be who you say you are one day. Like, social media is it's a very easy way of trying to be someone you're not, but only you go to bed knowing your own truth. And I sleep pretty good at nighttime, so.
That reflection's a funny thing. When you're looking in your mirror, you're like, I've never had a situation. Sorry, the reason I laugh when you said dance in the rain is my missus has that tattooed on her side, and I give her shiver all the time. Whenever it's raining, she's like, fuck sake, you know, umbrella up. And I get out there and dance. Come on then, find the positives.
Yeah.
And when you were younger, obviously you were in your teens when you first started Soul Food. Did you find like, even whatever it is, like business, like other companies you were trying to work with or suppliers, whatever, did you find they treated you a little bit differently because of your age?
Yeah, 100%. Really? It took a very, very long time for me to build up respect for myself. But I just did that through consistent quality products. Our standards are through the roof. The team go mental at me, but it's the reason why we are where we are. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, but just execution. But just, I had to really stand on business for quite a long time. Sometimes people still do. Like, I only had to open up a new bank account a little while ago, and I was on the phone and she was like, 2000 and what? Whenever people say
What year were you born?
2002.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's mental. When you were mentioning there, you have obviously you were younger when you started, and then did you build up, like, do you still have similar either companies or suppliers that you work with? Obviously you spoke about loyalty. Did you find that once they realize you're the real fucking deal, they were like, yeah, I want to be aligned with this guy?
Yeah, maybe. One thing we like to do is we like to be a lot more than just another product on a shelf. Like, we like to try to build a good relationship with you. Like, we're human beings. Like, that's all we are. It's not like, of course, there's a monetary transaction because we both need to pay our bills. But, you know, we like to drive a lot of brand awareness to the cafes, and we like to just do as much as we can and not just have a chat. Like, we don't have any crazy, like, onboarding system. Like, it's, you know, there's no crazy sales pitch. Like, it's just like, yeah, we make pretty good outs. Like, if you like them, happy days, you know, let's see what we can do.
I feel like people, like, when you start a business, like, people potentially over-focus on, like, the structure and making everything looks like a legitimate business. And, like, people come in and you have, like, a suit and tie or whatever. Like, I feel like people are like, if my business is going to be legitimate, it needs to have those things. And I feel like in the last, like, 5 years, more than anything, that's all starting to, like, get pushed to the side. Like, I don't know if you know, there's a girl on TikTok, don't know her name, but she owns a company called Pretty in Pink. Have you seen that? I don't know if you've seen her. She's only young, like 19 or 20, run a company by herself. But she, like, seeing young entrepreneurs like that, like, run a company, having staff and stuff like that, I feel like the whole kind of mindset of, you know, you'd expect a 50-year-old man to be behind the desk when you call into a business, I feel like the whole mentality is kind of shifting right now. Have you kind of noticed that? Like, are you noticing now your brand obviously has more brand recognition now? Do you feel like you're getting doors might be opening more to you now than they might have been 5 years ago?
Yeah, I think, yeah, we just obviously had to build a certain level of respect for ourselves within the company. I always say that, like, you have to build yourself up to be able to walk into rooms. Like, I'm surrounded by some of the most successful food entrepreneurs in the country at the moment. Like, I have them in my phone book. I meet them quite often. But I had to work my way up to build myself a stack of respect. I had to earn my seat at the table, you know what I mean? So yeah, there's no substitute for that other than hard work. But yeah, I think so. I'm not too sure. I don't really stop. I probably could stop and look around more often at what's going on. But
you
I'm just
blinders on.
I'm really laser focused. I have tunnel vision, and it's I've always been this way. I put my mind to something and I do it. And we're going through a huge development within the company at the moment. That's been my main focus since November. Mm. Between that and then keeping my head straight. Like, I'll always work harder on myself than I will the company. I'll try to anyways, always, because if I don't hold myself accountable, you know, hit the gym, have good nutrition, good sleep, still spend time with people that I love, I cannot manage the companies. Like, that's most important, you know?
And like, you see it like a lot. I've worked in a number of different companies, and you've seen the, I work for now, Bloomon, who do hair products. I'll give you some of them after this. I remember when on my first day, Colin, who runs the company, he was in his office when we first came in about 8 a.m. He was in there on calls. And then I stayed there until the end because I was waiting to meet my mates to go out in Vancouver that night. It was about 9 o'clock. I walk out of the office, I'm turning the lights off, and I hear like, hey, man. And I was like, what the fuck? I thought I was on my own. And Colin's fucking in there, little light on his laptop, just like fucking typing away at it. And then like, in that one, that was my first day. And ever since then, I've been like, fuck, I respect that he set the standard. And he didn't know I was going to be working for the company for 8 years. I was just some guy. But that, in my brain, for the rest of like my life working Bloomon, I'm like, fuck, I know Colin's putting the work in, and I know he's setting the standard. Not to, you know, be braggadocious about it or anything like that. He did that because that's what he believes is important in a boss. So I think being able to, for you especially, setting those standards for yourself outside of work is just going to benefit you, you know?
Yeah.
That's key, man. This might go over your head. I'm not sure if you'll remember this, but in the podcast with Kieran, you mentioned that when you went through that situation where you had the bad business situation, your coffee roaster said something to you that was impactful. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, I was only talking to him on Friday. Shout out Mark from Java the Hut. He's an incredible human being.
What's the name of the company?
Java the Hut.
That's so fucking smart.
Yeah, man. And he has like little Star Wars, little like sick stuff and all. He's an incredible human being and incredible coffee as well. I'll never have another coffee roaster for the rest of my life. Mm. Simply for what he did for me. But I spent 3 hours on the phone with him. And he just kind of put me wide to a situation that I fully didn't understand. And then after that, we just kind of tried to protect ourselves as much as we could, and luckily we got the opportunities to still crack on, and we're still cracking on to this day. And I wouldn't have got through it without my team. My team are my backbone. They're just a group of just incredible people. I don't know what I did to deserve them, but we have fun all the time and just never want to stop having fun.
I feel like you say you don't know how that happened or like you're lucky or whatever that is, but I feel like all those things that happened, like the coffee roaster saying that to you, I feel like that was all built on all the good experience you had with him and all the times that you obviously treated him with respect, you had a good business relationship, that it made sense for him to do it. So I don't think it's by luck that those things are happening. I think that all the good things you did, the compounding interest on that is why people want to support you now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, even from just chatting to you now, like I can see it's very similar to a lot of the guys having the podcast. They're not great at acknowledging stuff that they've done well. They don't like to be the reason stuff's doing well. They want to kind of push it to their employees, to their business or whatever. They don't like to be like, yeah, I did that well. But I feel like you should give yourself some more credit.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, I appreciate it. I don't know. Maybe with age I'll be able to. Nice. Yeah, maybe with age I'll be able to, but I don't know. I always feel like I like to be a ghost worker. Mm. And like, it's funny because my face is all over the Instagram and I quite enjoy it, but I don't want to like, I don't know, there's just, it's hard to articulate the mind of an ambitious person. Mm. You know what I mean?
Do you find that, or did you find it even maybe before talking to Kieran, did you find that you thought that you might be like, did you always recognize you had a different mindset to even people when you were around? Were you like, you know, were you kind of recognize, it's weird that I care more about these things, I'm more focused on these things than like what my mates are focused on or other businesses guys are focused on. Did you kind of always recognize you were unique in that way?
I think it was more, I was just unique for myself. Mm. I never like, I don't really compare myself to people. Mm. I've always been just very focused on me and the people that I love. And like, that might sound a bit like I'm just full of myself, but it's just, I just want to be the best version of myself that I can possibly be. Mm. And I don't have to be anyone else. I don't have to be better than anyone else just because someone does something. Doesn't mean what I'm doing is better. It's just better for me. You know what I mean? Like drinking, for example, it's like, cool. Like, you know, like my mom drinks, I still love her and spend time with her. Like, it's like, you know,
same.
It's just, yeah. And like, geez, sorry, that sounded terrible. She doesn't bleed and like drink, but like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just,
There's no judgment coming from your end. And it seems like you're in the nicest way, quite uninterested in what other people are doing. And you're more focused on yourself, which is a great thing. So many people are way too quick to comment on something that they think they could do better, or fuck this guy, he thinks he's class. And like, so many people are more worried about other people than themselves, yeah. Especially in Ireland. I had Luke McHugh on it. Do you know Luke McHugh?
I don't think so.
He does like yoga stuff. He's a fucking gent. I want to have you on again, Luke, soon. But he was like, people in Dublin in particular just need to fucking support each other a little bit more. And like, it could be such a sick place. There's so many great entrepreneurs, and like, you're seeing the growth of even like music artists, Belters Only, Jazzy, like all these people like growing. I'm booking tickets to see Amble. Do you know Amble?
Don't think so.
They do like more like folk Irish music, but they're blowing up right now. I'm trying to get a ticket for them in December. And when I see that, all I think is how fucking sick is that they're from Crumlin, or they're from like 5 minutes down the road from me, and they're off doing like huge tours. Like that gives me energy. Do you know what I mean? And I can't understand the mindset of people being like, fuck him for doing well. Do you know what I mean? It's mental. Me and my missus love to visit cafes. Big cafe people, love trying out different cafes. What are things that you think are important? What are certain aspects of a cafe that you think are important to do well and be somewhere that people want to go?
Well, it depends on where it is and stuff like that. Location's key. Location is 100% key. If it's a brick and mortar place, I think aesthetics. Mm. Well, I'm a big aesthetics guy, 100%. I like clean, I like minimalistic. That's what I like. And staff. I think staff. I actually have to shout out, there's this cafe in Kildare called Hey Darling. And is the most
going on my list.
It is the most incredibly ran establishment I've ever seen in my entire life. My brother and I brought my uncle for his 70th down to Mondello Park to do a few laps in a Ferrari. Yeah. And on the way back, I literally just typed in coffee near me, and it's the first place that came up. I never really heard about it before. I went in and I was just in awe from a business point of view. Like, you walk in and the staff, like even the clothes that they're wearing, all the staff are kind of like the same. Mm. It's clean. It's just, you walk in, you order, you bounce. It's very reasonably priced. Good menu, good coffee. You sit down. There's a big communal area. It's brought out to you in little paper trays. So there's like less hassle. Like, it's all just takeaway. The music, the dim light and the decor, it's still kind of like rustic and old. And it's just like genuinely the most incredibly ran establishment I've ever seen in my entire life. That is not an ad. That is just appreciation.
I'll send this to them.
Like, honestly, this is not an ad, but it's just genuine appreciation for an incredibly ran business, because that's someone's livelihood. Like, another thing is, like, people are so quick to talk about people, but it's just like, we have a big culture in Salford that love is always the answer, and we strongly believe in it, because you don't know what's going on in someone else's life. And social media, it's so easy now to just you know, for negative things to happen, but just trying to spread some love and some positivity. Just why wouldn't you want to make the world a better place? Why wouldn't you want to like be kind to someone? Like, you know what I mean?
Did you tell them after? You're like, lads, this place is fucking sick.
I put up a story and I said, hashtag not an ad. And I said, this is one of the, because I don't really want to be an influencer around. I don't ever want to do hashtag ads. That's no disrespect to anyone that does, but it's just not me. Mm. So I often put up stories, be like, hashtag not an ad. And I just said, it's one of the most incredible places. Like, anyone from Dublin needs to pop down here. Mm. Any cafe owner needs to pop down here and see what they're doing, because they set some incredible standards. But yeah, like that being said, people are so quick to also talk about somewhere negatively, mm-hmm. but not so quick to talk about somewhere positively. Mm-hmm. So that was just,
'cause it gets more fucking traction. That's why, yeah, which is sad. Like,
so yeah, it's just trying to spread some love, man.
You probably appreciate when you see like good standards and like motivated staff, good menu, you look in and you go, fuck man, I know how hard it is to fucking do that. And you're like, when the staff genuinely are like happy to be there and like, good morning, good to see you. And like, particularly when I go to a cafe, when the service is good and quick and coffee's there, guys, like everything's just done to you. It makes you feel so comfortable. And like, especially for cafes, my missus would then be like, I'm going to go there and work. I'm going to go there, bring my laptop in. And like, that one little touch point you have going to that cafe, it'll stick in my head. I have cafes that I've stick in my brain to be like, fuck, I feel comfortable when I'm there. And it's hard to find that balance of, it's a comfortable place, but also they're on the fucking ball as well, you know? And you mentioned there for 2025, like, what would be one personal goal you have for yourself and then a goal you have for the business as well? I know you have some expansion plans for the business too. So talk me through kind of what's important for you in 2025.
Spending time with people I love. Yeah, 100%. But apart from that, I want to become an elite performer. I hold myself to incredibly high standards personally. That's running, that's gym, that's just overall kind of lifestyle, mental health and well-being. And then, yeah, we're going through, it's not really a rebrand, because a rebrand sounds like what we were doing before wasn't working. Yeah. It's not really the case what we're doing. Everything was working too well in my crazy entrepreneurial brain. I was just like, nope, 180, we're going a different way. So we're hoping in not too long. It's just kind of a complete elevation of our brand, of our products, of our offerings, everything streamlined. We're really attempting to take things to the next level. So yeah, hopefully we'll be, we already have started teasing, but we're going to be making a lot of noise soon. We've been planning this since November. We are on the last day of Q1 right now. Q1's title is building, Q2's is execution. So you can expect a lot of noise happening over the next little while, and hopefully it's reciprocated.
And if you were like in your wildest dreams, if you were pushing like what you dream like Soul Cafe could be, like what is your, if you were like just putting out a goal, doesn't have to be realistic or whatever, what would success or like we really did it look like to you? Is that having 20 different cafes all throughout Ireland? Is it going international, or is it, as you're going to say, just enjoying the moment and making sure that every aspect you can touch is the best it can be and the rest will kind of look after itself?
Yeah, I think actually I was out with someone yesterday and they were like, oh, like where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I was like, I don't really believe in that question.
Hard question, yeah.
Because like, I think so much, like...
Especially like, for you in 5 years. If someone asked you at 18, what do you see yourself? You've been 10 years, you'd be like, fuck.
You know, you asked me, you tell me 3 years ago you'd have two companies, all this and that, and you know, you'd be on podcast talking about it. I'd be like, yeah, right. But so like it's life, like I think... I have like a detailed direction of where my life is going till the end of next year. And like, that's enough.
Yeah,
like I have goals and ideas. Like, of course I want a family. I want a nice house. Yeah. I want this, I want that. I want, you know, to see my mom and stuff. But other than that, like it's life. So many things can happen that dictate your life and you don't know how you're going to feel. Mm-hmm. So like I'm very happy and focused on what I'm doing right now. I have a plan for where it's going to a certain extent. Mm. And even at that, like our Q1 and Q2 are completely detailed and like have been executed and will be executed. Q3 and Q4 are only going to go how Q2 goes.
Let's see what happens.
You know what I mean? So it's really like, because that could even look different. Like I'm talking, oh yeah, like loads of stuff is going to come over the next 2 months. Everyone could be like, what are you after doing? And then I'll be like, oh, and then I'll figure it out and it'll be fine.
Donald Trump could blow up the world like before then. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen.
I'm very politically homeless, so I won't comment on that. But
I think everyone is, man.
Yeah.
Anyone who's like, I know exactly what's going on. Like, no one can our fucking pod. No one can figure out what the fuck's going on. So yeah. I think living in a bubble to a certain extent is important.
I think I wake up and listen to the birds, not the news. Mm. So that's what I like to do. But yeah, I try to be very focused on what I'm doing. Keep my head right. Look after the people that I love. I just work incredibly hard, and I look after the people that deal with me. That's all I do. I like to think I'm a very simple man. So yeah, that's kind of the main goal, and just enjoy it and never stop having fun with it. That's my main thing.
Fuck, man. You're an inspiring bastard, you know that?
I'm just a kid
Give you a compliment without you fucking freaking out. You're an inspiring dude, and your mindset, I'm not saying it's anything that you've developed from hearing other things, but your mindset is something that I'm trying to do more of in terms of enjoying the process a little bit more and not as worried about financially having enough money to buy a house or how am I going to pay for a kid's school and all things. Like those things will come and we'll address those when they come, but let's worry about the here and now and we'll grow into that. So if I can give you one piece of advice, would be to give yourself some credit, give yourself a pat on the back, because I think you're doing amazing.
Your
head's in a fucking good place. I'm fucking 23, man. You're taking the piss.
I really appreciate
Jesus,
it, man.
Jesus, man. At 23, I was fucked up. but yeah, man, we just did an error, so I'll let you go home. But thank you so much for coming. Genuinely, I know it's not your fucking ideal dream to be coming to the Pearpod. What is it? Fucking 8 a.m. on IPM on a Monday?
Nah, I think that's me, man. I'm chilling. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I just like having a laugh. And the only real reason I do things like this is because hopefully there might be some little Kieran sitting out there and hear me saying something, and I might spark something in them. Like, it's other than that, there's not much gain that I need out of stuff like this other than just try and create some positivity into the world. You know what I mean? It's one thing saying it, but it's another thing doing it. So that's the main reason why I do stuff like this. So thank you so much for having me.
Leave it at that. Lads, thank you for listening. I'll link all your shit down below. And I'll link what's Kieran's actual title before I call him?
Total
Mental Performance.
He's a mental performance coach.
I'll link him down below. Maybe I'll fucking get on to him and he can figure out what's
Please
going on in my
do.
Head.
Tell
my
him you're God. A friend of mine.
Tell him, yeah, listen, I need your fucking help, bro. Things are going wrong. But yeah, lads, I'll leave all the links down below. Go follow Kieran's shit. And see you in the next one. Cheers, folks.
Yes, lads.
Yes, bro.